Hello, dear friends. Here we are again on A Heart Refined as we're moving into chapter 8 of the book James for You. And this is where we're going through the actual book of James in the Bible. And we're chewing through all of these chapters. I feel like last week was one of the most powerful weeks where we're talking about pride and what that drives you to and how it is that you move out of that bondage and the control that is pride, moving into the light and glory of God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the guidance of the Spirit of Jesus. We have that freedom. We have that opportunity. And so in that same spirit, we move into this chapter. And we're focusing on the end of chapter 4 in the book of James, verses 13 through 17. And then towards the end of the week, we'll be shifting into chapter 5 and the beginning of that chapter. If I'm not mistaken, it's verses 1 through 6. But where we start out this week, and I sort of informally title, busyness can be a form of spiritual laziness, and this is the misuse of our time, talent, and treasure. So it's not necessarily just about busyness, overscheduling, or our current culture of go, 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 do, everything possible. This is also about our spending habits. This is also about the use of our spiritual gifts, the things that the Lord has given us to use for His glory and the expansion of His kingdom. I think we oftentimes misuse those. So we need to consider that as we listen today. So let's see what James has to say about it, starting in chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So it is sin to know the good and yet not do it." So in the book, Sam Alberry says, and he sort of accentuates this, it says, this reality affects more than just how we plan. It also needs to shape what we plan. Not just the contingency, but the content of our plans needs to reflect the sovereign rule of God. The 24 hours in the day are not mine to use as I please. God has given them to me, and I am to use them as He would want me to. The plans I form need to reflect this. It is hard to miss the fact that in the example of planning, which James has given us, the planner's bottom line and main aim is making money. So there you go. It comes down to this. We are supposed to do it, or we should feel honored to do it for the glory of God. But what is driving us? What's the main thing that is pushing us to be busy, to spend our money, to use our talents? So I wrote a blog last year called What Overscheduling and Porn Addiction Have in Common. And that may sound crazy, but my whole point was to recognize what our driving forces normally are, exactly the same point that we're making here. And what I came down to is our need to be needed, or our desire to fill empty spaces in our hearts. Lusting after a position, a title, or recognition. And so what this really breaks down to is the fear of being alone, the fear of missing out. Y'all know that FOMO that they talk about in our culture all the time now. I just want to encourage you to recognize this word, or this acrostic here is JOMO, the joy of missing out. We have been pushing ourselves so hard to be a part of everything that we're actually creating anxiety and depression, jealousy, comparison, competition, all that kind of stuff. So there's actually a great joy to missing out on what is going on in our world. So we have a fear of being rejected. We have a fear of being misunderstood. And I think that's something that's a question that we have to develop for ourselves. And as you sit and listen to this, are you dealing with any of those things? As you're driven to do anything, what's it really based on? What's your agenda? And you can move over into that prayer right here. Well, first of all, you say, uncover any wicked way in me, but create in me a clean heart, O God, and cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And this is a drive to allow the Lord the movement, the room to make us new in our hearts, so that what we do really does flow from a place of God work, not just our self work. So I'd encourage you to take time to open up that question. Okay, so let's go back to a thought that we were talking about last week, which is about prayerlessness. And we have to recognize, we have to accept the fact, whether we really like for this to be the answer or not, this is the case. Prayerlessness is the equivalent to saying to our Savior, "I believe in you, Jesus, but I don't need you. Jesus, your love is not powerful enough to change me. Jesus, I don't need your joy or your strength." Doesn't that busyness or reckless use of time or talent and treasure say that same thing to God? And if you really think about what you're doing, what is God hearing from your actions? So most of the time, though, I want to encourage you to think about it this way. It's not that we're shaking our fist at God saying all this stuff. We're not openly, vocally saying, "I don't need your joy or your strength." Again, your actions are saying things to him. But it's in fact that we actually love him, or at least we want to love him. We want to spend time with him. It's just these schedules, right? Or it's just that we have to spend that money, or we have to save that money, or I have to fill that place in my church because nobody else will. Like, we overuse our gifts sometimes. I think we sort of rush in and say, "Hey, this is what I want to do and I'm good at it. So I'm going to move everybody else out of the way and I'm going to be the one to be the star of the show." And there may be somebody else who God is wanting to fill that spot. And so it is time for you to back out of the way and let them be seen. Let them be known. Let them be used for God's glory. I think that we sort of bully with our talents sometimes. There's also the place where we feel like our talents are not worthy to be used. We're not good enough, or we don't want our talents to be misused. So we choose not to offer ourselves in that light. And so, like, just think about that. Think about how God wants to use that, and are you using it for his glory? So then we come down to the position where we're saying, "But God understands though, right? He sees that I'm powerless under the weight of these pressures. So therefore, I'm quite sure he understands that I get some sort of special pass." Well, just to clarify for you, you don't get a special pass. We are all very different. We're unique in our DNA, but we serve the same God. He never changes, and obedience to him doesn't change. It's important that we understand that you, just because your life is different, just because you struggle on a different level, just because you're you, that doesn't mean that you're excused to be sinful, disobedient, and outside of the will of God. So consider yourself chosen, and what a great blessing to honor God and what he's asked you to do with your time, talent, and treasure. Okay, once again, we see James, he goes straight to the point, and I feel like we should be getting those words we heard last week out of chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." Now, we recognize that James is not, he's not using this straightforward language to insult us, but to shake us up. And we talked about that some last week. It's important for us to get his true demeanor in this. And I just want to keep driving this home. Remember that James is coming from a place of having encountered the resurrected Christ. And so where he's working from is not angry, "You better get this right, you non-rule followers. I'm a rule follower, so you better do what I do." No, he's saying, "Look at who he is. And I'm going to passionately speak about what we should do in light of who he is." He is passionate. He's not obsessed, but he's urgent. And he's telling us, pay attention. We've got work to do. And what a great honor it is. Because if we look at verse 14, it says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes." I think sometimes we get so infatuated with our earthly lives that we sort of treat that verse like an old wives' tale, like somehow we're immune or invincible, or there's something about us that is just going to keep us. Again, we go back to that idea of having the free pass, and that's just not how it works. It's just not. We have a responsibility to live well in light of His grace, like I've been saying, because your time is limited. It's just a fact. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and wrap today, and we'll start again tomorrow. We'll pick up on that point. But thanks so much. Y'all have a great day. Talk to you soon.